The podcast on Haunted Hill will contain spoilers and swearing.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
I saw this, Michael. Be one of us.
I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
Hello and welcome to the podcast on Haunted Hill. I'm your host, Gav Chucky Steele. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Mr. Dan Bone.
Hi guys, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Dan.
Merry Christmas, Gav.
This is our first episode, so it's very Christmas-based, as you can tell. We are looking at the classic movie, Jack Frost.
Woo!
It's not really a classic movie. It's not the Michael Keaton one. We're looking at it in our YouTube section. A YouTube section is basically we're going to each episode check out a movie which is on YouTube.
At time of recording.
Quite obviously. What do you mean at time of recording? What, we're going to watch it while we record?
At time of recording the podcast.
Oh, okay, yes.
And disclaimer.
And basically, we will check out a movie on YouTube. And the reason behind that is just because there's quite a lot of full movies on YouTube you can check out, from public domain stuff, old stuff, to stuff like the other day I saw Red 2 was on there.
Not quite sure how they get away with it, but these things are on there.
I think it's probably filmed off the cinema.
Ah.
Yeah. And then also we're going to check out some other main features, which will be, the main feature is Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. We also got a section where we're going to ask my six-year-old daughter to talk about films. Well, predominantly just each episode one film. I will basically give her a cover of a movie and she will look at the cover, look at the artwork, maybe read a bit of it. She's six, so she can read fine, and she will then give her interpretation or a slight review of it from just checking out the artwork and stuff. I'm going to see how that goes, because this one is very short. Basically, she's talking and talking and talking. I put the microphone in front of her, ask her to talk about this film, and she doesn't speak. And it's very hard to get a word out of her. So I'm going to see how these go for the next couple of episodes. If they go okay, cool. She might open up to doing a bit more of a review. If not, I might sit with her and watch, because she's seen a couple of the PG things. I introduced her to Ghostbusters at Halloween. Things like this. So I might go into reviewing possibly children-friendly horror, because there's going to be people out there like myself who have children. Dan here doesn't have any children.
No siree.
And yeah, I think it's quite a cool thing. Around Halloween time, Dan, I'm always checking out, looking for lists like, oh, Halloween movies for kids.
Yeah.
I know predominantly most of them.
Well, there's a handful, isn't there? The other favourites, the classics you can rely on.
Yeah, yeah, totally. There's a lot of good stuff, you know.
You've got the Ghostbusters movies, you've got Gremlins.
But there's different ages as well, though. A six-year-old will be able to watch Ghostbusters, which doesn't have animation, but with actual people acting, and kind of keep along with it, as long as you've got a bit of slapstick humour. But like, you know, two-year-old or three-year-old, it's going to be more about animation and stuff and not really caring about story or what the script is or anything like that, obviously. But we go from what Jazzy says as she's growing up and check out movies. We also have a section called World of the Strange. This is going to be basically us finding a subject which is, we found on the internet about something which is
either a news story or a video that we've come across.
Yeah, something which possibly is just a bit weird. We're going to talk about Lisa Lamb, the girl who went missing,
and
they had the hotel footage of her in the lift cars. I expect most people listening to this has probably seen the YouTube footage, because it was a little bit a little bit viral on places, Facebook and stuff
all over Facebook and places like that, wasn't it?
So then we're going to play a song. It might be horror related. Majority of the times it will be horror related. This time we're not going to. It's a good old Christmas tune that we dig, so we're going to play that. And then we'll just have a little outro and talk about what's going to happen in the next episode. So stick with us, and if you're cooking your Christmas turkey and you want a bit of some crazy English people talking shit to you, then we're the guys for it.
We're going to talk predominantly 99% of what we're going to talk about is going to be horror movie related. We may go off topic. We certainly will go on a tangent here and there. But if you're into horror movies as we are, please stick with us. And yeah, let's go for it.
You seen anything recently? Any films?
Recently? Well,
Christmas related or like just straight movies?
I haven't really started watching my Christmas movies as yet, really. I did watch the classic He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special a few days ago. As you know, I'm a massive He-Man fan, Gav. Currently sat here, everybody listening, just currently sat here in my He-Man Christmas jumper.
It's basically a red jumper, a red crew neck. It's got Merry Christmas with He-Man and She-Ra.
Mm-hmm.
He-Man's wearing a Christmas hat and there's some snowflakes around him. It's pretty rad, man. I've got to admit, I'm not, you know, if someone says, what are you into? And I say, well, I used to like Transformers and stuff. I did like He-Man. I had a couple of He-Man figures, but I was never really into He-Man. More Mask, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, Mask was good, but I'm crazy for He-Man.
You are crazy
for
He-Man.
Which is why every year I watch the He-Man and She-Ra.
Would you say you're gay for He-Man?
I'd probably say I was gay for He-Man. Probably more gay for She-Ra.
Would you?
Let's not go there, Gav.
Yeah, but like, would, if you were in a... If you're in a sort of situation where you could be an animation character and someone said, you know, you can have relations with a cartoon
character. On to other movies that I've seen. I haven't really seen many Christmas-related horror movies recently, other than the movies that we're going to talk about on the show today.
Okay.
I've seen a couple of horror movies which I've been meaning to catch up with lately, one of which I thought was really good, actually. Again, this movie was on YouTube, and it's called He Knows You're Alone from 1980.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks' first movie.
I've not seen it. Is it any good?
Yeah, it's a good movie, actually. Very good slasher movie.
What year is it?
1980.
So it's very close to Halloween. So yeah, was it trying to follow the traits of Halloween's camera angles, score?
There were elements, definitely elements of it. I think the score was definitely had some John Carpenter type stuff going on with it. It was just interesting to see Tom Hanks pop up halfway through. And it was actually a pretty decent story.
Did he have a big role for his first
role? He did, yeah, he did. And apparently, I was reading some of the trivia on IMDb, they were going to kill him off. As they pretty much did with all the characters, as you'd expect in that sort of slashery type film. But because he was such a likeable character and quite a charming guy, they decided to let his character live. So I guess that was the start of a good career for Tom Hanks there.
Okay, yeah, well, totally.
So yeah, that's one that really sticks in my mind that I've seen recently. What about you, Gav? What have you been watching?
I saw Silent Night, the remake from Silent Night. Yes. Deadly Night. Is it Deadly Night or Bloody
Silent
Night? Because there's actually
Night.
Two.
Yeah, there is two.
There's Bloody Night's John Carradine set in some house. I've got it downstairs to watch, and I've had it for a few years, and I just haven't got around to watch it because I don't know why. I just keep getting put off by it. I don't know why. Silent Night remake. Malcolm McDowell.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder, I don't see that guy enough, and I enjoy him. I enjoy him more in his older age, as you see him, as everyone knows him from the Zombies Halloween remakes.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone knows him, that, you know, that face, that the grey hair, the way he is now, rather than, say, Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
And I like his face. I'm happy to watch the guy in films, but I don't see him in enough movies, and... To be fair, in Silent Night remake, the script was, you know, I guess he's doing what he could with it, but he was just at times like probably not even really trying. It's like probably just a paycheck, but, and I understand that, but surely more people should ask him to do stuff because
he's a pretty decent actor, isn't he?
He is.
He's been in some pretty damn good films.
I could be lying. He might be doing like some bigger major stuff now, but you just don't see it. And I don't know.
I'm sure if he was doing bigger major stuff, we would see more of him.
He's quite a strange person, though, isn't it? He's in Clockwork Orange. It's Kubrick. It's Kubrick. Ah, everyone's, you know, Kubrick, because he's such a major figure in the director's world. And he was obviously a young character. It's like say Mark Hamill, Star Wars,
yeah,
a huge film. Then, you know, how his his went, say, to Harrison Ford or whatever like that. But then it's like Malcolm McDowell with Clockwork Orange. But then Clockwork Orange, quite a controversial movie. Didn't Kubrick actually pull it in? But it's just, as soon as it's released, he himself was the one that pulled it back out of cinemas.
He may well have done that.
I think he pretty much did. And so it wasn't released for a long time anyway. So maybe because of that, the audience, the fan base, which could have maybe grown from that movie, wouldn't have happened, just didn't happen because of that. But I don't know about in other regions.
This definitely seems to be a gap in his career for me.
You know, I mean, was it released in America fine? You know, I don't know.
have no idea.
It's quite dark. Clockwork Orange is quite a dark horse of a film world.
Is it a horror movie? It kind of is, in some ways. There are certain horrific elements to
psychological thriller.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's a bit crazy.
Yeah, well. I saw that. Yeah, it was okay. There's some good kills. There's a Ala Fargo scene, a death scene, where there's a woman being killed in a wood chipper.
Excellent.
It was gory and graphic, but it's more gory and graphic because you've got this girl being pushed legs first into the wood chipper while the killer is holding her and pushing her down. So, like, you know, it's, I think, because it's kind of eye to eye contact. And that happening and her being pushed away with really screaming was quite an intense scene.
So the killer's kind of looking into her
eyes.
It's
almost like he's looking at her, I think. I didn't really pay attention to that, but it's just thinking about it, it's like that. yeah, that was all right, death scenes.
For me, the best death scene I've seen in the last week was probably in a movie that I'm sure some of you guys might have watched who are listening, called The Dead Zone, which I've only just got around to watching, actually. Somehow slipped on.
I've never seen it. I'm not a huge...
You're not a Cronenberg fan, are you?
I'm not a massive Cronenberg fan. I've got to admit, I'm not a body horror fan, but I like things like History of Violence. I've not seen Eastern Promises.
Yeah, Eastern Promises is great.
But yeah, I'm not really. But yeah, was it good?
The Dead Zone was great.
Enjoyed it?
What made me want to watch it was it was a collaboration.
Was it a very young Christopher Walken?
It was Christopher
not
Walken.
Not even attempted to do a Christopher Walken impression. I've never done it before. Oh, dear. I can't believe I premiere my unknown Christopher Walken...
Everyone tries. I'm thinking of how I can do one now, but I literally couldn't do one. But he was fun, to actually really, really good at it.
Watch obviously, was up his ass.
The entire time, the watch was up his ass. Can't do it. Sorry,
get
guys.
Get on with it. Come on, get on with it.
Yeah, no, what made me want to watch it was Christopher Walken. It was a Stephen King story and obviously directed by Cronenberg, as we've said. And it was just a really good film. I believe they made it into a TV show about 10 years ago. I don't really think that did very well. It was on a Canadian network.
Really?
Yeah. It got cancelled after one
season.
Could the story
able to go off the venture?
Yeah, because the guy...
Was it basically going down the street and going off on some different alleyways?
The guy basically, Christopher Walken, has a nasty car crash where he almost dies, and then he gains the power to read people's futures by touching their hand. So he ends up solving a few crimes in the movie. And I can see how they'd spin that off into a TV show, but I don't think it did very well, and I certainly won't be bothering to check that out. But Walken is great, isn't it?
That's unlike you.
I know, it is unlike me.
Okay, let's just listen to this for a moment, guys. Dan has this thing where if he watches a part one and there's a franchise of films, he's gonna watch the rest of them regardless of how shit, and if they went to number 99,
I don't know why I do it,
you know, he has to do it. So to hear that he hasn't gone and followed an offshoot of something which he already watched the original of is quite a mental thing.
It is quite rare for me.
What is the best and the worst, just one of each, because we don't want to spend ages on this intro, of the franchises your OCDs made you watch?
Okay, I'd say probably one of the worst ones. I'd say it was either the Hellraiser franchise, because towards the end of that, they're appalling movies, or the Howling franchise, towards the end of that, they're really... And there's about eight of those movies, and they get really bad towards the end. Absolutely terrible.
What's your best Howlings?
The best Howling?
Yeah. Obviously, we're going original first.
Yeah, I mean, the original's a good film. It's definitely a good film.
What, you're going to say one of the sequels is better?
No, I'm not going to say that.
Okay, so obviously... I have a soft spot
for the marsupials.
Which one's that? The Australian?
It's like the Australian one. It's almost like an Ozploitation movie, which is pretty good. And it's got...
Well, more than likely, they did that because cheaper production costs, and you've got a whole Australian cast and crew.
And Dame Edna Everidge is in it as well. Or Sir Barry Humphries.
She's about to... I was in London the other day just driving by, and a taxi had on the side of it a huge set of glasses. And hello, possums!
Oh,
just
brilliant.
There. Fantastic. And saying, on tour, 2014. I was like, what? And just started chatting to the guards within the car. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, get your tickets now, guys. You've heard it here first.
Pop over to London if you're not in the UK.
yeah, they were probably my worst franchises. Best ones... It's difficult to say, really, because to be honest with you, with any huge franchise, the films are going to get pretty shit towards the end, really. I'd have to think about my best one, to be honest, Gavin. Get back to you some other time.
Okay. All right, well, let's keep this moving.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
Maybe one day we can do that. We can discuss franchises.
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. We should make a note of that. I watched one other thing. I'll just quickly tell you about this as it's Christmas. I watched season 1, episode 2 of The Tales from the Crypt. I think it's called... See, I shouldn't be telling about this if I don't know the name.
Then you say it was called All Through the House.
I think All Through the House. I think.
As in not creepy.
It's a remake of the movie from the early 70s, and it's the Joan Collins was the star of the segment.
Mm.
I think it's all pretty much UK produced, possibly, the movie, which is funny because obviously it then goes to America for the 80s.
So this is the thing that you said had a lot of good names attached to it, a lot of quality
You've
names.
You've got the director of Back to the Future. Yeah. You've got the writer who comes from, who writ Night of the Creeps, Monster Squad.
Okay, yeah, you know. Excellent.
And then you've got the composer who composed The Predator.
Fantastic.
I'm not giving you names because it's easier just to say it like that, because then you kind of get think, oh, okay, this is like something which could act. And it's a 22-minute short. The main person in it is the woman that always tries to help Riggs out in Lethal Weapon.
Excellent.
You know the one?
Do you mean the woman that works for...
In the office, and he always pulls gags on her.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Because Riggs is crazy.
Riggs is crazy.
I hope they do a part five.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope they do.
They closed the book on it after number four. Literally, the credits were the book closed. Come on.
Four was quite bad with Jet Li.
Four was bad.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not talk about Lethal Weapon.
Another time.
Another time. But yeah, this is really good, and it's on YouTube. So if you, you know, you want a 22-minute short to watch, A Tales from the Crypt, obviously Crypt Keeper starts up with a Christmas hat on, so, you know, you're in there, and he starts off with nice little jingle bells. It's cool. It's good. I recommend it.
And that's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's on YouTube. Before we get into the show, I'd like to just say thank you to David Anders for letting us do this podcast. And, well, he's not letting us do it. It's not like he's we've been in prison and he's unlocking the door. He's just letting us go on the network of the League of Extraordinary Podcasts, which is amazing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. That's great.
Right, let's get into this podcast.
Let's do it. Okay, so it's on with our first section then, which, as we mentioned, is the YouTube section. So this is where we watch a movie that is currently on YouTube at the time of us recording this podcast, in its entirety. Sometimes they're broken up into parts. This film is in its entirety, and as it's Christmas, me and Gav opted to watch the classic 1997 comedy horror movie called Jack Frost.
But of course you're lying. It's not a classic, is it?
It's not a classic, as we will get into.
It's this thing. I typed into YouTube search engine Christmas horror. There's not a massive amount. So we went with Jack Frost from 1997. This is not the Michael Keaton version.
No, that came out in 1998. That's actually a comedy family tearjerker type Christmas movie.
Mm.
This isn't that one at all.
No, this is a tearjerker, but in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
It's directed and written by the same person who actually went on to write, but not direct, Identity with John Cusack, which I quite enjoy that film.
It's a fairly decent story. It's a good movie.
It's not bad. I don't like the ending. Don't go spoil it.
Let's not spoil it.
I don't like the ending, really, but I enjoy the whole... I like movies set in bad weather. Movies set in the rain... Movie set in the rain, I love that shit. Movie set in snow, I like that shit. That's why,
British,
next episode, by the way, we are going to talk winter films. Because, he went on to direct part two. I've not seen that. I know that someone has seen that because they have their OCD where they have to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Dan is going to talk to us about part two. So
I'll do that a bit later on.
I look forward to that. He went on to direct about six episodes of a TV show. I don't know the TV show. I don't know. It could have been on daytime American telly. It could have been on all sorts. I have no idea. I like the beginning of it. I like the narration over the shots of the Christmas tree and stuff.
Yeah, it was a good intro.
It was okay. It's something like that. You're looking at a Christmas tree with decorations straight away. Like, it's Christmas themed. Visually, it's telling you that.
You hear bells jingling.
Yeah, with the score. Then a narration telling you exactly the story. This is perfect to set up
any
fucking film you want to. You can set that up just like that and then go anywhere, giving the whole backstory as much or as little as you want. Very, very easy, because at Christmas time, there's a lot of people tell stories. You tell stories to your children. Once upon a... You know, not before Christmas or things like that.
Exactly, it was that kind of theme, wasn't it?
So it set it up like perfect, great. Where are we going to go with this?
So it was essentially a story being told between an old
guy. Where did it go down with this?
Well, it didn't go anywhere.
It didn't go anywhere very much.
I mean, my main problem straight off the bat was, and I think we both had this issue, was the straight away we knew what sort of movie we were getting, where they got a grown woman to put on a voice of a child for the opening narration.
Yeah, there's a man talking, but there's a grown woman. So it's either they're going for this slapstick type of humour, Yeah, I suppose, yeah, human. But I mean more style. And they want you from the get-go to know that this is what this film's going to be like, which kind of ruined it straight away. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's a crack in the wall.
Yeah.
And that little crack is just that. I hope it's not going to get bigger. But unfortunately, sometimes some cracks you can't fill.
Well, I like to get behind cheap and cheerful movies. We both do. And you're going to get that a lot in horror movies.
Oh, of course.
You know, I thought
this
to myself...
This is why we're a nation of horror movie lovers. We love horror films. We come together to watch shit movies no one else would ever watch, and we love it.
We do.
It's just one of those things. I've grown up watching some fucking shit, I'll tell you, you know? But...
But, well, basically, yeah, as we say, it started off all right. You know, the credits were actually the Christmas decorations on the tree. This story's going on. After a while, I forgave the fact they'd used an adult actress to do the child's voice.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of, don't know why that got to me, but it did. But anyway, we started the movie and...
Do you want to know what IMDb says?
What does IMDb say?
A serial killer dies, comes back as a snowman and wreaks havoc.
Yeah.
Sweet.
There's your story there. Sounds great. Sounds great, Gav.
Okay. This movie would work with a remake.
Yeah.
It's got the potential to have a remake. Of course, you're never going to take a movie about a killer snowman seriously, but you could make it that real wacky grindhouse type thing with some decent death scenes,
some good practical effects.
You could, with that, think about snow and freezing and cold, man,
because there were elements,
the death scenes you could come up with for that, you know,
there were elements that were you know, there were good ideas in this, you know, the power of this snow monster, snow guy, basically, is that he's a little bit like the Terminator in T2. He can melt down into a puddle, he can get through a keyhole under a door, he can drip out your taps and then solidify as a snowman, so he can get you wherever you are. Now that should be scary, really, but they just didn't really push it, they didn't really take that idea too far.
What's mist made of?
Mist, it's just vapour, isn't it? It's water. So he could have done that.
Exactly.
They didn't go down that route, you know.
This is why, while we speak about this little review we're going to do, you'll be able to think to your back in mind, okay, we're all horror fans. We hate remakes. Some of us don't mind them. Some of us have anticipation. Oh, Rob Zombie's making Halloween. Oh, great. It might be good. I'm not gonna voice my opinions now. I think that's a divided... I think us fans of horror movies, we are a divided nation of who likes or who doesn't like that.
A remake or a reimagining, either, yeah, whatever you want to call them.
Well, they started calling it reimagining just because I think remake was, name was getting pushed around.
Pisses
too much.
Off, doesn't it?
I understand why studios do it. I completely understand. Oh, let's not do it on this tangent. Let's try not to go on
not
a tangent.
Not too much
right
of a tangent.
Now. Okay.
I'd like to discuss this stuff another time.
The
reason why I think Gav's saying it, this would work as a remake, is because there were a lot of good elements to this movie that could have worked, but they just were so... It was like a patchwork of good and bad.
But we discussed this. We figured out that probably halfway through the making of this film, they decided that this approach wasn't working.
Yeah,
and we're going to go the other way.
So whether they originally intended this to be a
hard-hearted... And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, this isn't going
to
work. We need to do some
death scenes. It's a serious movie.
But if they could do that, they would have put more gore in the death scenes. So,
yeah, I mean, the
depending
death
on
scenes,
the shoot and if they did the death scenes first or last or however.
The death scenes weren't gory. There were gory. There was implied gore. A lot of them were off-camera deaths. But the reason that we've come to this conclusion, I think, is because the profanity or the weird use of profanity. One minute they're sort of saying fuck and shit, and the next minute the guys are like, "Oh, what the heck is this?" and damn
well,
it.
Well, I don't think just I think
just the
fact that the movie does not flow properly.
No, it's really haphazard. Like I say, like a patchwork. One scene works, the next scene doesn't. I mean, one thing that definitely united it all the way through was the terrible acting, which I think I described as Power Rangers style acting. Gav, you caught an episode of Power Rangers lately, didn't you? So I think
I saw a bit. The kids are watching.
You know what I mean
by
where there's a lot of hands moving around.
It was pretty cheap and tacky, basically. This is Shannon Elizabeth's first film.
Oh, it was. That's right. Beautiful Shannon Elizabeth. As
2 years later, she went and did American Pie.
Exactly, probably her most famous movie, American Pie.
It is. In what she did in American Pie, she got a tits out.
She got a tits out. Yeah.
It's not really. You know,
it's not much of a
Jamie Lee Curtis, as they say in Screams, didn't go legit. She didn't show tits till she went legit.
That's true. That is true.
I wouldn't say American Pie is going legit. Originally, no. Admittedly, it's the original one. But,
yeah, it was a good film.
Well, you know.
But Shannon Elizabeth, I must say, I felt very, very sorry for her in one of her scenes. Well, I'm sorry, we have said there are going to be spoilers in her death scene. Gav, do you want to give us a description of her death scene?
Right.
Picture this.
Shannon Elizabeth is having a shower. She must be
a bath. It's a bath.
Was it a bath?
Yeah, she's
so
in the bath.
So then she stood up.
She stands up to get out of the bath.
Okay, cool. So don't picture Hitchcock's scene of Psycho.
Certainly
we're not going there. Okay, that's a whole new, that's a whole different hemisphere of the film world. She's having a bath. She gets up. We don't really see any nudity. So it's not a problem. Okay,
a problem.
Fair play. Whatever.
You
she is naked. You can see she's naked, though. You can see that.
Yep.
Quite, but it's a medium-wide shot from a slight distance. It doesn't really cut. Not that I remember. Admittedly, I had a few beers while watching this film. So my judgment could be slightly hazy on this because I got to this point, because a little way into the movie this happens, I got to this point and I was just, I don't know.
You'd started to give up.
2 minutes into the movie, I thought, what the fuck am I doing? You know.
Well, essentially, the bathwater freezes around her, doesn't it? And the Jack Frost then becomes the bathwater because he can drip through taps, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So she stands up out of the bath with this huge, what I think you described it as a marshmallow, Gav. Like a big marshmallow thing all strapped around it, which is supposed to be a scary bath monster, which is Jack Frost. And he takes his nose off, doesn't he, Gav, and puts his nose
Jack
where
Frost,
his penis should be.
Jack Frost hasn't got a cock, guys,
no,
okay?
He's a snowman.
He hasn't got a cock. He's a snowman. He's a fucking snowman. He doesn't have a cock, okay? He might have snowballs. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
he
that was an ongoing joke,
cock.
Wasn't it?
Was that a joke, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, one of the jokes in it, sorry, just before you get into slating Shannon Elizabeth scene was what's the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman? Snowballs. But anyway, that I thought that was quite funny. But anyway,
yeah,
Shannon Elizabeth, she stands up with this white thing.
She stands up, basically. He puts his carrot from his nose down where his cock is, and he starts presumably raping her up against the wall.
Quite a
the
dark
shot is still staying there. We've got this medium wide shot still. It's to the, it's panned over to the right. It's just there. It's just against the wall. It's. My basically at this point, my wife and 3-year-old daughter came home, and I at this point realised that no death scenes have been bloody or gory whatsoever. So the budget is whatever it is. I don't mind my daughter coming in to watch this. You know,
it wasn't particularly scary.
If you said that to anyone, oh, I let my 3-year-old daughter watch a movie where there's a woman naked being killed in a horror movie, they'd be like, what are you doing? You're going to scar this child for life. No. Jack Frost is fucking shit. There's absolutely no fucking gore, blood, nothing. The swearing words, yeah, no, but she's young. She wasn't going to pick up on that and repeat it or remember it. Oh, it's just like, she's like, oh, what's that? And I said, it's a snowman. It's more like Stay Puft the Marshmallow Man's knob, basically, or yeah, it's just a big marshmallow humping her. But it wasn't really humping her. It's just going back and forward. So she's kind of bouncing off it. And this is her first acting role and stuff. I can't believe this was it. It's just like, and, oh, my God.
I can't believe she got more work. I mean, like I said to you as we started this little bit here, I really felt quite sorry for her during this scene because she really gave it her all. But how can you give it your all when you've got a big white marshmallow
strapped
to you?
I know, it's terrible. We've talked about it too much. It's not worth it.
Yeah,
right, let's go back to where it was. No, let's go back again. I enjoy the silver bullet style lynch mob they had.
Yep, you like that scene.
I did like that. And I love the fact that there was a guy keeping the shop open a little bit longer with a 20% discount so they can go buy their guns at the gun shop. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I thought that was quite amusing.
There were some really good off-the-wall elements of humour in this. There were definitely.
Yeah, no, totally. The script at times had some good stuff. Shannon Elizabeth gets killed, and we hear Christmas comes early.
Yeah, you know, and there was another time where a guy says, well, actually, Jack Frost kills someone and says, I just axed you for a smoke. Another one that I particularly liked was it the killer snowman scene? Oh, that's a killer snowman. We iced him.
Oh no! Basically, I don't want to talk about this movie for long, man.
Let's not go on about it too much longer.
I've got to say, first of all, the sheriff's kid in it.
The sheriff's kid. Oh, here we go, guys.
The sheriff's kid at the beginning is just the mum or whatever comes home and walks into the kitchen and he's doing craft work stuff. He's
not
making,
as in the German band. He's doing.
Yeah, he's not.
Craft.
He's not like remaking craft work songs, but he's there. He's there just basically making
Christmas decorations.
He's just making them. So I'm, what are you doing? I you know, you're 10, 11 years old or whatever. Why aren't you out fucking
not fucking
not fucking But Al, just doing the ball something, around, being, getting in the being, snow. Being a lad, being a kid, being a boy, you know, come on, let's do this shit.
Yeah.
But no, you're sitting, man. Come on, man. What are you doing?
It's a really badly unrealistic.
But of course,
character.
Fair enough, people can do that. People might be listening to this now going, well, what the fuck, guys? I would do that shit. What are you talking about? But yeah, okay, we get to the end of the movie. Now, after Jack Frost has been killed once already by, which is quite nice, a scene where he's surrounded by people with hair dryers and a priest with a cross out. That was kind of such kind of grindhouse.
It was a great.
If you tilt the camera slightly to an angle and you shot that and put a bit more of a darker sort of score to it, because the score in this is just appalling.
The score was terrible.
If you did that, you would have this whole different thing. You can rotate the camera around, go some POVs from people or something. And it, you know, you can really bring out some atmosphere.
Great scene that was.
It could be worked really well. But I enjoyed it as they did it, but you could make that even more. Again, this is why we could have a remake. But he gets killed like that, but he goes to Walter, then he comes back again, and they realise that they can use antifreeze to destroy the snowman.
Which is a great idea.
It's a great idea, of course. As soon as I heard it, I was like, actually, guys, you've actually figured this out.
Why haven't we thought of this before?
Exactly.
You know?
But how they figure this out is because the sheriff's kid, this kid, he wants to keep his dad warm when he goes to work.
Because it's winter and it's snowy.
So where does he put... He decides to go and get... However he gets this antifreeze, I don't know why the sheriff hasn't put it up high. But then again, he's a 10-year-old kid. He can climb shit.
Yeah, he can do it.
Fair play. But he has no realisation of what antifreeze is. And he puts it in the... What's he put it in?
He puts it in his dad's oatmeal. He says, hey, Dad, before you go off to work today, take this bag of oatmeal I've made you. And his dad's like, well, that's a bit odd. But I'll keep that just in case. I'll keep that just in case, not knowing that later on, I don't know, I can't even remember how it gets into Jack Frost's face, but it melts half his face off, and he says, that's weird, maybe he's allergic to oatmeal. And his son says, maybe it's the antifreeze I put in your oatmeal.
What fucking child thinks that they can put, they can put antifreeze...
Speaking as a dad right now, he is.
Antifreeze in their parents' food... to take with them so it'll warm them up.
It's just a very
It's a lovely sentiment, kid. Well done.
It's weak.
Well done, kid. It's a lovely sentiment. I'm glad that you've done that for me, but it's going to kill me. Yeah, I put it in my car. What you put in a car, you don't generally put in humans as well. Yes, cars take water, so we drink water. That's it.
It was
Have you ever seen Daddy drinking petrol? Have you ever seen Daddy putting an air pump up his arse?
No,
he hasn't.
No. Well,
don't put antifreeze in my food, okay? And it's you're going to hurt Daddy.
And that's where it really fell
apart.
It's
a policeman. It's a sheriff's kid. 10 years. 10 years every year, even if it's cold once a year. That's 10 years. Okay, let's give him 4 years for being younger, not being able to take it in with his memory. Let's go from the age of five. 5 or 6 years, being seen antifreeze, being possibly put into his dad's car. And his dad's never said to him about this. What the fuck,
and,
man?
And guys, you probably think we're being hypocritical here because, you know, anything goes in movies. That's the way it goes.
Oh, of course. But really, this is just ridiculous.
This was the weak link, really, because it was a really forced way of getting antifreeze into
But if they'd have done this on purpose, so they're actually kind of making it a comical thing or something... and pushed it that way.
Exactly.
You could have been like, yeah, cool. Tongue-in-cheek, grindhouse-esque, you know.
This is going back to what we've talked about, you know. This movie, 1 minute it's a light comedy, the next minute it's trying to take itself too seriously. And if it had stuck it being a light comedy, with slight off-the-wall humour, hair dryers being aimed at the guy, and all these Arnie, what I'd call Arnold Schwarzenegger-delivered one-liners from Jack Frost, who was clearly they were trying to make him the next Chucky, it wasn't going to work. If they'd have stuck it doing that, then I could have bought the oatmeal because I would have been like, that's ridiculous. Of course the kid's going to put antifreeze in the oatmeal. But they just tried to turn it into a real plot point didn't work.
There was no good death scenes.
There weren't any good death
scenes. The costume was bad. The script was okay. The score was bad. The camera angles were bad. The production was bad. This movie's bad. I didn't want this YouTube section to be movies which are bad, so then you're not going to get off the podcast and go,
let's go
watch that movie they talked about because it's shit.
Like we said, we wanted this section to be movies. You can then straight away, after having listened to this show, you can go
check
and check
the film
this
out.
However, because it being Christmas, we are limited to what is on YouTube and Christmas movies.
Yes.
This was on there and we thought we'd check it out. You know, I'd heard things from other people about this movie and we checked it out. I mean, the one, I think the one saving grace of this is the script, like, it, at times the script is okay, but ultimately the movie is pants. It's not very good at all, really. I would say there are movies that are so bad they're good. This one is so bad it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see just how bad it is at times.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
So,
it's just a bad movie. It's not really the kind of so bad it's good thing. But if you were at home, you're putting up your Christmas decorations, you got a couple of glasses of wine on the go,
yeah,
you got some friends around, or even just by yourself. Actually, not by yourself, because you probably don't want to put your friends
through this. I believe this
they won't be your friends if you put them through this.
I believe this is classed as a bit of a cult movie because it is so bad. So it is intended, I think. Now that nowadays that when people are watching it, they're not taking it as a serious movie. But even so, you know, it's a pretty poor movie. There are movies that are out there that are shit but funny, because they're shit. But this one is just shit.
We all knows. But, you know.
So that's Jack Frost.
It's shit. Okay, well, I'm going to leave myself out of this conversation now a little bit, because Dan's going to explain to you about Jack Frost 2. Oh, would you recommend Jack Frost 1?
I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either.
I mean, the only recommendation is that it's on YouTube for free.
So yeah, so like I said, if you set up some decorations, you're like, I fancy some Christmas stuff, but, like, you know, man, I'm a horror fan.
I'm not really going to pay attention to it.
If I've got a moment to watch a film, I'm probably going to lean towards the genre of horror. Put that on. Put it on. You know. But don't expect anything good. Just maybe watch the Shannon and Elizabeth thing, just so you can go, fuck, they're right. You know, or no, you guys are fucking a bunch of twats. You haven't a fucking clue what you're talking about.
We might be wrong. This might be a fucking great film. This might be the fucking Psycho of the 90s that we didn't realise. But I don't fucking think it is. And it certainly isn't the next Chucky.
Well, get on and talk about 2, because we've been on this subject
okay,
for
well, I'm not going to talk about Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman, as the subtitle goes, for too long. Because, you know, we've already talked about the first one. As Gav's mentioned, I cannot not watch sequels and remakes. Once I've watched the first of the franchise, I have to then go forth and watch everything else. So the sequel to the Jack Frost is also on YouTube for free. So later on that night, after already watching the first one, I sat down and watched Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman. My God, I didn't think it could get any worse, but actually this film is pretty fucking terrible.
Would you say the budget's probably less?
Yeah, the budget's less.
Why did they do a part 2? Was there like a demand? This more than likely, guaranteed, more than likely, this probably got like a little cult following.
And that's what I said. I do
think there's absolutely
got
no doubt about it. I mean, there's just probably a bunch of guys a bunch of people who generally get together in cinema and have like a fucking Jack Frost.
Well, there's probably a drinking
session
game attached to it, you know, so depending on how many times he says this or does whatever, I don't know. But they made a sequel, and believe it or not, the three of the main cast are in the sequel, like the sheriff, his secretary and somebody else. I mean, the basic premise, ridiculously, is that it takes place on a tropical island this time. So Jack Frost, Jack Frost having been melted down and living in a freezer container, like an ice box, travels on a boat to a tropical island where the original cast from the first film were having their Christmas. He then gains the power to make it snow at his command, which they never mentioned in the first movie, which means that he can pop up and disappear at any point during the movie. Later on in the movie, and this was an interesting element, I thought this is good. This is where it's going to get good.
Yeah, you know, what happened?
He can create little snowmen, little snowballs that he fires out of himself with little faces, little teeth. They're a bit like little white round critters.
Does he fire them out of his carrot cock?
He doesn't fire them out of his carrot cock.
He doesn't ejaculate little snowballs out of his carrot cock.
No, if only, Gav.
What the fuck? So there could be a remake for part 2.
There could be a remake
Attack
for the sequel.
Attack of the Carrot-Cocked Snowball Firing Killer.
And you could do a crossover.
Fucking Snowman.
You could do a crossover with the Revenge of the Killer Tomatoes versus the Carrot-Cocked Jack
Ejaculation Frost.
Brilliant. Gav's currently on one of those tangents I mentioned earlier. I'm just going to reel it back in.
I don't think you mentioned tangents.
I did mention tangents, I thought. It doesn't matter. We're on one. Let's go with it. But Jack Frost 2, guys, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it is pretty bad. There's
a frosty ejaculation.
There's not much I can really say about this movie other than it's Doug Jones' first ever movie.
Who's Doug Jones?
Doug Jones is the character actor, I think you probably describe him as, who appeared as the Pale Man in Pan's Labyrinth. I think he might have even played the Fawn in Pan's Labyrinth. He was definitely the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four sequel, and he was in Hellboy as Abe Sapien. So he's kind of like a character actor. He's not really known for his face, more for playing
like
heavily
Andy
made up characters.
Circus?
Like Andy Serkis, a lot like that, yeah. Not as big as Andy Serkis, but he does do a lot. If you check out Doug Jones' credits on IMDb, you'll see he's been in a hell of a lot of movies whenever they need somebody heavily made up to act.
You've got to be a certain person to take a long... How long have you ever been in makeup?
I tend only to wear makeup every other Saturday of the month, Gav, as you know.
Shadow of Death. When you've got machete in your face. Shadow of Death's a film we made. Dan was inspector or...
I was a super special officer.
Oh, sorry, yeah, super special officer Craven. How long were you in makeup for?
I was probably in makeup for about an hour? Just over an hour? I had Mark working on me. It might have been an hour and
a half. That's not very long then. Okay, I've been in makeup about 2 hours for my death scene. You do hear nightmare stories where people go in at they go in at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're shooting at 9. And they're sitting there just getting their makeup done. I know Robert Englund used to do that quite a lot.
Yeah. He didn't have to wear any makeup in this movie, Doug Jones.
Where am I getting with this? What were you talking about?
Doug Jones.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he might be one of those people who's acceptable and like, oh, yeah, I'm cool. Put me in the chair for however long you've got to. And he just, you know, he works well with that. And he's cool with him.
I guess that's why I didn't recognise him in Jack Frost 2. Because I don't know what he really looks like other than a few photos on the internet. So I didn't really see him on there. But apparently this is his first movie. I think he was in one of the bar scenes. There were some tits in this movie, so they stepped it up. They decided they wanted to go for a more scary movie type vibe in this one, so there's a lot more swearing and a lot more tits. It was definitely more of an adult movie. There's one scene that was genuinely quite chilling, if you'll pardon the pun, which is where Jack Frost freezes the top of a swimming pool.
See, that's good.
And the girl drowns underneath the ice.
This is why I say there's a remake there.
There are elements, aren't
there? There's so many amazing... I would work out... If I was going to do a remake of this movie, I'd work out what death scenes you could do with snow and ice, then work around
exactly.
that and go spread out from there.
And it's the element of him being able to, as I've mentioned, creep through under doors and through keyholes and things like that as well. There's a lot here that could be used.
Would you recommend this film?
I wouldn't. I mean, I'm not going to talk much more about it. It was worse than the first one, and to sum that up, his weakness in this one, unlike the first one where it was antifreeze and oatmeal, his weakness in this one was banana puree. They found out his DNA...
How does a banana kill a snowman?
Well, this is it. Apparently, at some point in the first one, his DNA got spliced with the sheriff.
Antifreeze
while they were fighting.
Was... Okay.
Well, if you're
at no point did you go, oh, that was...
Well, Gav, there's an explanation. This is the explanation.
Please, enlighten us.
At some point during his battle with the sheriff in the first movie, their DNA got mixed together. And the sheriff has a weakness, an allergy to bananas. So after watching Jack Frost down a banana cocktail on this tropical island, one of them realised that he was...
What, the sheriff's DNA is in the snowman?
And the snowman's DNA is in the sheriff.
How?
Because they were fighting in the first one. They don't care about these... facts, do they? It just is what it is.
I don't want to take this anymore. Can we cut this off? It's terrible.
Okay. Jack Frost 2, awful.
You don't recommend Frost 2?
The end.
So, okay, guys, sorry about this. Merry Christmas. We don't recommend Jack Frost 1 or 2.
No. Next time, we're going to watch
a YouTube
movie.
What are we going to watch next time?
Well, I was thinking, I think we talked about Terror Train.
I will. I think at the time you're listening to this, it's going to be around Christmas time. Next one, we're going to try and air these every couple of weeks. So the next one we're going to do, we're thinking Terror Train. It's set on New Year's Eve.
It's a big New Year's party on a train.
We're going to talk about winter films and the YouTube movie will be this. Okay then. All right, well, Jack Frost.
If you want to watch either of those movies, guys, they are on YouTube. But we saying don't bother.
That's a thumbs down for that.
Thumbs down for both of those movies, man.
Ask Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine, and this is your first segment of Ask Jasmine. And I've given you a copy of Black Christmas to look at. Have a little look, and what do you think about that?
A man who kills people.
Yeah. Apparently it says here, this was the original Stalk and Slash movie. What do you think that means? You don't know? You're shrugging your shoulders. No? Okay. It's a Christmas movie with a man in the loft. And he's just sitting up there making horrible phone calls to people. Do you think that's fun? No? Wouldn't be very nice for Christmas, would it? Would you suggest that people would watch this movie for Christmas?
No.
No? Okay, so that's no for Jasmine on Black Christmas. Okay, thanks very much, Jasmine. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Yeah, so that was the Ask Jasmine section. Like I say, I'm going to try and see how she goes with it. But yeah, she was a little bit shy, first of all. She's fine with a camera in her face. I filmed her for a few things before. She actually works quite well with that, and she doesn't mind it. But the microphone was like a whole new ball game for her, and it was just like, it just kind of freaked her out. Okay, here we go. Talk about now our main feature for this this first episode, winter Christmas special type thing. Basically, it's the movie Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. I always actually called it a movie Rare Exports because I thought it was just Rare Exports.
It's got a subtitle, hasn't it?
Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. I guess they did that because they want to get this thing going on. Basically, this is a is it a Finnish movie or Norwegian?
It's a Finnish movie.
It's a Finnish movie. I know it's Norwegian.
Yeah.
I know Pulvetta and Runki. Now, if we've got Norwegian listeners, they'll probably go, God, that pronunciation is awful. But then they'll also be offended and turn the podcast off. So let's leave it at that.
Thank God that's all you can say. Well, anyway, this isn't Norwegian, it's Finnish. That's great.
Yeah.
So for those of you guys that don't know, the basic outline, and I'm just giving you what I've read here. The synopsis is, in the depths of the Korvanantori-Tori Mountains, 486 metres deep, lies the closest ever guarded secret of Christmas. The time has come to dig it up. This Christmas, everyone will believe in Santa Claus. What did you think of this movie, Gav?
I thoroughly enjoyed this film. This is the second time I saw it. I watched it 2 years ago, just before Christmas. Then for Christmas, my mother-in-law actually gave me a copy on Blu-ray.
What a great mother-in-law.
Yeah, I know. It was really strange the time that she gave me a human centipede on Blu-ray for my birthday.
That's weird.
That was random. But I went straight home in the middle of the afternoon, shut the curtains, no children around, luckily, and watched it. And thought it was shit, unfortunately. Anyway.
We're moving back to Rare Exports.
And I didn't bother watching it last year, and then I watched it again this year. So it's been 2 years since I watched it. When I first watched the film, I was very intrigued with the mystery element. It's very nice. The writing's nice, and the production value's very, very nice. I don't know the budget. I should have looked this up. I don't know the budget, but it is actually... It's quite a nice... look to the film. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. The second time watching it, knowing about what's going on and what the ending is and stuff, it was the mystery element was taken away because I knew what was going on, so it wasn't as good in that department.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But at the same time, I had quite a few beers while I was watching it, so towards the end, I don't know, you know.
It's a running theme for Gav.
Okay, cool.
This is a great movie. This is a really good horror movie. We're just having a little Christmas cheers here while we talk about this. Yeah, this is a great horror movie. You know, it's for me, it's straight away. I mean, again, same as Gav. I saw this about 3 years ago for the first time, and I watched it again recently. What I like about it is it's got that sinister twist on a fairy tale. Now, fairy tales are obviously sort of something you get told to you as a child. So when they start turning dark, for me, that's quite a nice...
It is very much a fairy tale film, isn't it?
It's a dark fairy tale movie, do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like that, you trust people that like fairy tales because you get told them when you're a kid. And this is breaking that trust because all the things you believed in about Father Christmas in this movie are blown out of the water.
Recently I watched Hansel and Gretel...
The Jeremy Renner movie?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that, I'm going to say.
I enjoyed it from the get-go. Then I think I lost my way with it, and we butted heads, man.
What I liked about that movie, and the same with Rare Exports, is the same thing. You know, they took a childhood thing and they twisted it and made it dark. And that's what I liked about Rare Exports.
When you're a child and you listen to that, you people who care for you and love you and stuff generally tell you fairy tales.
Yeah, Father Christmas is going to come and visit you in the
night. Back in the day when they just sit around
and fight. This movie twists it. So whenever you've been told he's going to come and visit you in the night, it's not going to be for a good reason in this movie. He's going to come and visit you for other reasons.
I loved that reason.
It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Really good twist.
It's basically, okay, we got the yin and the yang. We got good and evil. Well, let's just flip them.
Yeah, that's all they've done. It's a very simple move.
How fucking simple is that?
It's a great move.
Flip it.
And I'm sure there is elements
actually,
of this that are based...
Santa loves children. He loves children so fucking much that his nostrils flare when someone comes in within a few yards of him.
He wants to eat the children, essentially. And I've got a feeling this is based on some Finnish legend, because there's a point where the main character in this, which is a child, is reading some legend, like sort of fairy tale books, and there's lots of very sinister images of Santa whipping kids and eating them, boiling them in oil and ripping their heads off. And it's really, as I say, flipped it on its head. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, the production value is all good. The camera work, the score.
Well, it looked great. It was the beautiful sets in Finland. Yeah. All the ice.
You're completely immersed in that world.
It looked absolutely great. And the effects towards the end were good overall. There wasn't anything that was 100% bad.
There were some death effects, scenes like, and stuff?
A lot of the sort of death scenes happened off camera. There was a little bit of blood, wasn't there?
Yeah. A guy it's got a 15. It's a 15 rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's what it implies, and it's just. And again, we don't.
It's more of an atmospheric thing with a good production.
We don't. You know, we know this, Gav, and you guys out there listening. You don't need gore for a horror movie. If there's that element of scariness in there, there's that element of scariness in there, and this had that. This had that. It was very creepy at times. There's a moment where they capture what, and I use inverted air commas as I say this. They capture a Santa Claus. I'm not going to go into the whole plot, but there's a moment where they capture what they consider to be a Santa Claus, and they've got him in this room, and his nose is twitching, like Gav said, when he smells a child, and you don't know what he's going to do. In fact, he turns around and bites someone's ear off at one point. You don't see that. You just see the aftermath of it. But it's all very fucking scary.
I like the fact it is a kind of role reversal thing. You generally do get the weaker character, the main character of a film, getting to that point where they have to... They come to a crossways and they've got to go one way or the other. And they basically go... generally go stronger towards the end of the movie. Hmm. And this was basically the main character. The main character of this film is a kid.
Yeah, a little kid.
What was he? 15?
No, he's younger. He's probably about
13,
12 or 13.
12, 13?
His mum's died recently. We don't go into the backstory of that.
We're in basically, it's snowing everywhere.
There's no women around, are there?
No.
There's no women out there. It's just blokes.
It's completely men. There's not a woman in this film. I don't know what that would imply. Or they just did because it reminded me, if you think about it now, it reminds you very much of The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Very much. The whole
isolation, a group of men isolated, then something comes into camp.
And fucks everything over.
And just completely takes it. It's that film. It would work as a nice companion buddy to watching that if you have night watching films.
I'd definitely say so.
Yeah.
I'd definitely say. I mean, there's not a lot that I didn't like about this film, to be honest with you. The script was great. You know, it's a Finnish movie, but the script translated the jokes translated well into English.
The relationship between the main kid and his father was strange at times. The father disrespected him at times, pushed him around a little bit, and just being disrespectful.
He wanted him to be a man.
But at the same time, he loved him very, very dearly. So it's almost like he was putting him as an excuse for what happened to their mother.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything about that.
Great actors
There's another world definitely involved in this.
Great. What sold that is that...
acting was absolutely fine.
You didn't know any backstory about where the mother had gone.
No, you don't know nothing.
But it was all sold to you by the two actors, the kid and his dad. They were absolutely great. Really, really good actors. The kid especially, you know.
I felt sorry for the kid at times. Yeah.
And it was funny as well at times. There were some great funny moments in it.
Man, his nuts grow through this movie,
man.
He
mans up. He definitely mans up. Starting with him putting a bear trap in the chimney, which I thought was a fucking wicked scene, where the dad's trying to stoke the fire and he realises that suddenly a bear trap.
What I liked about this movie is that it starts off in English.
Yeah, there are English.
Do you know any foreign films that have ever done this?
No, and I always respect.
You've got about 7 minutes. A nice time for you to be able to settle into your seat. Get comfortable. Get the popcorn ready. Get your beer going on. Smoke some weed. Whatever you're going to do.
And then the subtitles can come up.
Then we go into the film. Basically, this is what it was, but it's in English.
I mean, there were...
So if you're not even that partial to subtitles, that shit doesn't bother me.
There were other times where they...
Subtitles. But yeah, if you're going to do that and you could be like that and you could then go into it, it's such a nice way to break you in. Like, here we go now. We're going to go into some Finnish.
There were other times where they spoke English towards the end, here and there, very briefly, but I felt that just made it a little bit more realistic. You know, they weren't chained to just one language. There are a couple of languages in it. We're in the real world here. It was great. Scary moments, as I mentioned, you know, you've got that scary moment with when they capture the Santa Claus. And there were quite a few just really, you know, just being a kid. I really got elements in this movie of films like, you know, more recently Super 8, or perhaps even E.T., where it was a kid trying to convince all these adults that this weird thing was going on.
Well, that's a very, not cliche, very, there's only so many story motives you're going to go for. That is very much a baby.
But I just think that really works. I really get behind
that. But of course it works. That's what works. That's why people do it.
You know, the adults don't listen to the kid. He's trying to convince them that, you know, this guy is a Santa Claus or whatever he's supposed to be, one of Santa's little helpers. Yep. And the adults don't believe it. They dismiss it. And it's only when the shit really hits the fan that the adults man up. And then the hero of the story actually turns out to be the kid anyway. He's the one that comes up with the plan.
It gets to that point where towards the end some of the older people of the camp who are sort of disrespecting murder heroes, they stuff them, don't I can't give you a quote.
He's
basically giving orders and stuff. Basically.
He orders
and
them to fly
a helicopter. Okay, cool, yeah. The really? Movie is basically a man who lives with his kid. Don't know where the woman is. They're just in nowhere, middle of nowhere. His job, the dad's job, is basically...
He hacks up deer, doesn't he?
Yeah, and is it just deer?
It's just here. Every year they get a load of reindeer.
In the middle of nowhere, and it's like, I guess they slaughter a load of this deer and just then sell that on to people, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's what his dad does. He works. He's like a one-man abattoir.
And his kid's used to, he knows that. His kid has... one friend we see, who's a couple of years older.
He's a little bit older than him, isn't he?
A little bit older, and it's just a really deserted town with a couple of houses and a lot of snow.
So there's,
and I love the isolation.
Yeah,
vibe.
That's it. You know, and it works for two reasons. You know, obviously it works for the story.
But I like Stephen King stuff, which is isolation stuff.
And it works for the budget as well, because you don't need, you know, they probably didn't have to spend a huge amount on anything other than the effects in this movie.
No, exactly. But why the fuck do you need to spend so much money and stuff? When you can just tell a good, if you've got a good story, it's a good story.
And that's ultimately what they've got here.
And that's what it is. Back in the day when we sat around campfires, we listened to good stories.
But do you know what else I really liked about this? The script.
Yeah.
It was realistic dialogue. It was funny at times. I was cracking up at times. There were really hilarious moments. There was a bit towards the end where... I think the kid says about when they know the actual Santa Claus, which is like a 20-foot monster, is going to come and eat all the children, who are all in sacks because Santa's little helpers has collected all the children, kidnapped them all. So brutal. Kidnaps all the children, put them in sacks and put them in this warehouse ready to be eaten.
Well, we should explain really what's going on with the story. There's basically this kid and his friend go out right next to where this little place where they live. There's like, what is it? Is it, was it the army?
Yeah, well, it's like the border to Russia almost, I think.
And they've just cornered off this whole area, and there's this massive hill, mound. And what do they believe's there?
Well, they're digging down because they found that there's something buried in this hill, this mountain, and there's sawdust in there. So they know that there's something frozen in there. So the government from, I believe, Russia or somewhere, are digging down because they know there's something in this mountain. The kids accidentally cut a hole into this fence, don't they? Because they want to sneak in and see what's going on.
Yeah. It's not accidentally.
They did it on purpose. Little shit. But well,
come on, man.
They're kids, man.
Me and you, back in the day or something, we're little, and
we're
nothing.
In Finland.
There's nothing anywhere, and there's some people next door with a fence saying, do not enter this shit, man. You're going to go for it.
And because they cut this hole of the fence, then one of these, what initially they think to be a Santa Claus, which is a really creepy old naked man, and all of them were naked in this, all the old dudes. That was weird, man. They were so creepy.
I have strong feelings about the fact that there's too many naked... I saw so much old man cock.
Yeah, I know, there's a lot of old man bollock in this, but that only a flash,
more,
isn't
there? Yeah, towards the end. You got more and more cock towards the end.
Craziness of the movie. I think that was brilliant.
But that's it, it's quite funny. There's absolutely no women in this movie.
Exactly.
But loads and loads of naked dudes.
And they were old dudes, man. And it was cold.
So it'd be better if it was younger?
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
I think I'd prefer the older.
I mean, it was cold as well. And I'm not just saying that because of how they looked. You know, it was bloody cold.
I wasn't looking at their cocks.
I tried not to, but they were there. They were there. There's a few scenes.
So you were.
We've digressed on old man cock here, which is not something these guys want to listen to. Well, they might.
You didn't tune in for old man cock, surely?
Surely not.
Surely not.
But yeah, so this first Santa's little helper gets out, and the kid's dad captures him in a bear trap.
Well, yeah, they've left the pig's head out, hanging outside, just to capture,
They think there's wolves, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they wolves, because the wolves have been killing their reindeer.
Yeah, and actually it's an old man, a naked old man that they capture. And
yeah, he's fallen in a pit, which they strap him down. An illegal wolf pit, which they're not allowed.
They strap him down in the abattoir, and they think he's dead, and they don't want to get in trouble. So
they're going to chop it up. They're going to chop him up. The guy's an abattoir man anyway, so he's going to say, well, fuck, I'll chop it up.
No one will know. But however, the kid comes into the room.
The kid sees from a distance outside, he just looks through a mirror and sees what's going on. Just as Ray thinks this older guy's dead, his nostrils flare because he can smell the child.
Sniffing and sniffing.
This was a beautiful scene.
Really scary.
All of a sudden you're like, oh man, this guy likes children so much that he...
That's a creepy vibe, man.
Straight away you're like, well, he doesn't like him because he's going to give him some presents. He's definitely going to give him something, but it ain't going to be a present, or not a nice present, that's for sure. It was a creepy scene. I quite dig that.
He eventually bites one of the guy's ears off, doesn't he, in that scene?
Yeah.
Which, and again, as I mentioned earlier, you don't see that. You just see the aftermath of the guy holding his head, and there's blood sort of on his head, and he's got parts of his ear missing. And he's like, oh, that guy's crazy, don't go in there. And they go in there and they figure out that there's something about children that turns this guy into some sort of kind of crazy animal. And he's almost got supernatural strength, supernatural power. He's very fast as well. As we see later on, that these guys are very, very fast. They can move almost quicker than we can see.
Should we spoil this? Should we not spoil this? Because I would say recommend it without having to spoil it.
Well, we won't go any further then. I mean, you know, we won't reveal. I mean,
we've just given enough intrigue if you haven't seen it.
I don't want to go to spoilers for this. I respect this movie enough to not want people to.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Want to spoil this for people.
No,
so
I don't think so.
There's so much to like about this movie. As I said, the script, the score I thought was beautiful as well. Did you. Gav, you made music.
Production values, man.
Good music.
All round, the production values are fine.
It's just really, really good. Another line I really liked, actually, that will spoil it, so I'm not going to do that. Gav, cut that last bit I just said. I was going to say something.
No, don't. I'm not going to hear it, so you keep going, man.
I was just going to say, there's a line I really like where they say, now we know why Santa is in a zillion places at the same time. When you watch the movie and you see that line, you'll nod and be like, yes, what a great delivery of that line at the right time as well. It's really, really well done. Just a good overall movie. One of the best Christmas horror movies out there. I'd put this up there really with Gremlins and Scrooged, which me and Gav have, whatever anybody says, those two are horror movies, Christmas horror movies. I'd put this up there with those, and I'll probably watch it again next year. I might
this would be on my Christmas rotation.
Yeah, I will watch
this. Absolutely no doubt about
definitely,
that.
Definitely, man.
This will be up there with Black Christmas.
I can't believe
the original.
I can't believe it's only the second time I've seen it, really. And
same as. It's my second time.
Yeah, but and so they, enjoyable. They,
yeah,
so
totally.
Enjoyable. And I think this would translate well to people that aren't horror movie fans, just straight horror movie fans. I think other people would enjoy this as well.
I've got a note here. It says, way too many old guys' willies.
Old guys' willies, brilliant. Well, we've talked about the old men's cocks and willies.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, overall, really good movie. And it's one of these sort of movies that came out. It's one of these European movies that came out, like Troll Hunter, Let the Right One In.
This is a bit weird. At one point, his dad and his dad's friend leave the helicopter, and they leave their young child in a pit. Well, not a pit, what is it? With the fence around.
Yeah, it's like
cattle fence or cattle. I don't know what you'd call it, really. But they leave the kid with about 70 naked men.
Yeah.
Naked old men. I'm not saying like something
that's
going to happen there, but I've got the kids like, hey, see you later, guys! Yeah, smiling away.
I just
away.
Think that was there.
I was like, dude, man, have you looked at your surroundings? You're 360 degree
old
man cog.
But basically, the kid, that was his moment to shine, wasn't it, really? If you know what I mean. And I don't mean shine cock.
I don't know. The editor cut there, so
I don't mean
sure.
Shine cock either. I mean, that was his moment to shine as the hero. But anyway, we don't want to spoil it too much.
No,
check this movie out. Really good movie, guys. Not on YouTube, unfortunately.
No,
however,
I recommend it.
On YouTube,
I was gutted. Now, I've got a Blu-ray. This is the UK Blu-ray release of this. I'm gutted because it has zero extras.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
We've got
screen selection.
Does it not have the shorts?
No. Okay. What the fuck not? No, I'll tell you. Do you know who does the extra? Who pays for the extras of a film?
No.
It's the filmmaker.
The filmmaker himself?
Yeah, not the distributor.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. You might possibly be able to make a deal where you do that, but generally, no, it's the filmmaker who's going to be doing that.
That's
but
a shame.
But if you've already made these shorts, because this movie apparently, not apparently, it does, I didn't see them, about a few years earlier, which I presume they did this for gaining finance for this film.
Yeah.
They made some shorts under the name Rare Exports, then there'd be different titles.
Well, that's what I was going to say, talking of YouTube. This movie, that there is a short movie that precedes this, which I don't think I've seen. I couldn't find it on YouTube. It still is on there, I believe. But it's a very short film, which is basically this movie in a shorter version. But there is one that you should probably watch after this movie called, it's called Safety Instructions, Rare Export Safety Instructions, where they're rounding up these Santa Claus things and they're shipping them out to all around the world, every country in the world, Africa, India, Europe, and they're showing you how they train them up to be Santa Claus, how they train them up to not bite children's faces off, how they train them up. They're just, it's very, very funny. It's in Finnish, but there is an English voiceover. It sounds a lot like...
Are they on YouTube? Because I haven't seen
them. Yeah, they are. It's on YouTube, this one.
If they're already, if you've already produced these and they're on YouTube, you would put them as extras.
They're very, very well done. Very well produced.
It's going to make the DVD more buyable.
It's a little bit more...
Blu-ray. Or DVD.
It's a little bit more supernatural, perhaps. A little bit more off-the-wall comedy, but these shorts. But they're good. And I definitely would recommend, after having watched this movie, go on YouTube and look for the two short films that are related to this movie, especially Safety Instructions, straight after that, because
how
it is hilarious.
10, 15?
I think the Safety Instructions one is about 9, maybe 10 minutes. I believe the other one is a lot shorter. They're really, really good. Really, really good. And like I said... you know, there's a lot of good things coming out of that part of the world at the moment, that part of Europe. Troll Hunter, Let the Right One In, all these movies have come out in the last few years. So I think, you know, if we keep getting stuff like this out of that part of the world, we're in for some good horror. Because these guys, they've got a great sense of humour, great sense of writing, great sense of storytelling. I really, really enjoyed this movie. Really, really good. Rare Exports, Gav, what would you give it? Thumbs up?
Thumbs up, recommend.
Big old thumbs up from both of us.
Cool.
Really, really good movie. Guys, check that one out, add that to your Christmas list, watch that one every year. Or every other year, whatever you want to do, but definitely watch it if you haven't seen it. It's a brilliant movie.
Yeah, definitely. Should we get into the World of the Strange?
Let's do some World of the Strange.
Hi, welcome back to World of the Strange.
Okay, so for the first episode of World of the Strange, it's basically the story of Elisa Lam.
Elisa.
it's a Canadian girl who basically went... Why was she left? Where she's from Canada and she went into LA.
Yeah, she's from Vancouver in
what
Canada.
What was she in LA for?
She went to LA. I don't actually know it, to be honest with you.
Basically, she stayed at a hotel, and this hotel actually had death related to the hotel.
Yeah, there's a dark history to the hotel, isn't there? The hotel's called the Cecil Hotel.
People would go there to commit suicide. They'd jump off the top of the
building.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of things. I mean, we can come to that in a moment.
When was this?
When she died, it was in February
February of 2013.
She was 21. She's a student from Vancouver, and she was found dead at the hotel, the Cecil Hotel in LA. Now, there's a lot of weird stuff about the way this happened. You know, this was on Facebook, and I read this, and I thought, bloody hell, that would make a bloody good movie. And I read more into it, and I think a lot of people have read this and thought, bloody hell, that's a bit of an odd one, really.
People thought it's like Dark Water.
Yeah, a lot of people have compared this to Dark Water. There's a lot of strange coincidences around this. But basically, there's a video that goes along with this as well. And you guys can check this out if you go on YouTube or whatever and type in Elisa Lam, L-A-M is her surname. You'll be able to watch this video. But basically, she went missing for ages. She disappeared for a week or so, maybe 10 days, something like that. And eventually they found her body, which it was in the water tank on the roof of the hotel. Really, really weird. Obviously, that's quite gross in itself. Everybody had been drinking the water.
She went missing. So they put this video out of the CCTV footage of inside the lift. Yeah. The interior of the lift, basically. It's basically a camera, top corner of an elevator.
Yeah.
And it's looking down. And it just has this footage of this girl. They put this footage out because she went missing before they could find her. And how many days was it until they found her?
I've got a feeling it was almost 2 weeks. I'm going to check that out while you keep talking, girl.
And they found her basically in this water tank of a hotel. And this was because the only way they found this is because the residents of the hotel were complaining about quite dirty.
Yeah, the water tasted funny and smelled funny, didn't it?
That is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's horrible, isn't it? You know, I mean, obviously no disrespect to anyone, because this is a real thing, but that's a really horrible, gross, sort of very real thing that those people had to deal with. But yeah, the video footage of this girl, the CCTV footage from inside the lift, it looks like she's hiding from someone, doesn't it? She gets in the lift, you see her, and she's acting quite strangely. She hides up against the wall, like you'd see in a movie where someone's shooting at you. She hides up against the wall, she's pressing the buttons. The lift door refuses to shut, weirdly. It doesn't shut, does it, for ages?
It doesn't. She presses all the buttons and she's like darting in and out of the lift, looking in and out of the lift. She darts outside the doors, looks left, right, back into the lift, and repeats this two or three times, which is a little bit odd.
And then she steps out the lift, doesn't she?
Yeah, yeah. Then she goes out of shot, comes into shot, goes out of shot, comes into shot.
You see her outside the lift talking to someone.
Or something, but you don't actually see anything or anyone.
It's like she's talking to somebody who's invisible, and it mentions this in the article I read. She does this really creepy thing with her hands.
Yeah.
You know the bit I'm talking about, where her hands seem to almost spin round on themselves, like she'd be triple jointed or something. I don't know, it's really creepy. And it's like she's in a trance. Clearly, it looks like she's on drugs.
Tell you what's creepy, when she went out of shop, then the lift doors
worked.
Then shut.
Yeah.
Then opened, and then gone, shut,
yeah.
Then opened.
Now what's going on?
Then
there?
Shut, then opened. But the reason I say it a few times is because you're watching it, and each time it goes, you're like, the next time that opens, it's going to be something that's going to freak me the fuck out. Yeah. And I was like, man, that is a nice scare tactic. I'm going to use that.
I've got to be honest with you. I thought this was a joke when I read this on Facebook. I thought this was going to be one of those videos where you watch 30 seconds of nothing and then a big face goes, and you sometimes you jump, sometimes you don't.
No, I didn't think that at all.
I was waiting for a big scare like that. So, like you say, I was genuinely a little bit scared about what was going to happen there.
No, totally. I was more so because it was... you knew she was already dead. If you come into the story now to go watch the video footage, you know she's dead, she went missing, then she died. But then they find her in this water tank. This guy goes up to check out the water tank, and it's a really small hole which you can probably just get a body through.
Well, apparently they had to cut, I mean,
but before we get into that though, there's a door which is locked which goes to the lift. But did someone say the door was locked because they didn't lock it and they didn't want to get in trouble?
Well, you know, there's a lot of...
Do you know what I mean? It's an easy thing to get. Yeah, no.
The mystery is, I think the three main parts of this mystery, really, are firstly, her the way she acted in the lift and the doors not opening and closing. And it was almost like, you know, if this was a movie, there would definitely be an invisible person there blocking the doors from opening. And her hands do this weird thing, and she looks like she's on drugs. And just as a side note, after the autopsy, they found no trace of any drugs or even alcohol in her body at
all.
They
didn't.
Nothing at all. So there's no reason for her to act the way she did.
They've put it down as accidental death, haven't they?
Accidental death. The second part to this mystery is how she got up on the roof, because that door should always be locked. No. As Gav says, maybe somebody left it unlocked and is covering their tracks there, I don't know. But the third part of the mystery is how she got in the water tank, because they had to cut it open.
Well, they said they had to cut it open because it wasn't big enough area to get like the stuff through from the fire brigade.
Yeah.
Get the stuff through to be able to pull her out and put it on like a stretcher or whatever. You know?
Really, really weird. Whether she was hiding from a ghost or something chasing her, that was some sinister force. Either way, she somehow ended up in that water tank for a good number of days with people drinking water that her body was decomposing in. So there's a lot of nasty, scary elements to this. And it's tragic, obviously.
It wouldn't be decomposing that quickly.
I don't want to say that this isn't a tragic thing, because, again, this isn't a real person this happened to. And this happened this year, you know. It's just one of those stories that really stuck in my mind. And me and Gav both talked about this. This would be a great idea, something to talk about on the podcast.
You can actually look her up and go to the news reports from when she went missing before she turned up dead. Talking about stuff, but the video, check out the video, YouTube and have a look at this video.
Elisa Lam,
it's
out
a little
video.
Creepy. My coming across it was basically going to check it out at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I turned all the lights off and I was about to go to bed. It's the last thing I was watching before I went to sleep. I'm an insomniac, so I don't know why I would go and watch something like this. It's not exactly something, it's not like a warm glass of milk, is it? Anyway, I go check out this video and I was actually like, oh man,
it's creepy.
He's talking about lift open, just like it's because you know, be crawling through that.
Apparently,
lift
the video was
something.
Taking a good 20 minutes before she died. It's definitely the last footage of her that there ever is. You know, this is probably the last things she ever did was this.
Exactly,
weird...
so it's got a sadness to it as well.
Yeah, there was definitely a sadness, a tragedy.
And she's
to
definitely
it.
Her mental state wasn't definitely not as clear as it should have been, and in the place where it should have been, and she was definitely unhappy or grieving, or there was a situation going on. Now, this is a theory. I don't have my own theories. It's just a theory which saw
you've
on
got
the internet.
A theory on this,
it's not really mine. It's what I saw on the internet.
Okay.
And basically, someone reckoned that. But you've already taken this away because you say no drugs are found in the system. So basically, someone said they probably gave a date rape. But it just sort of span her out, and she knew maybe someone was behind her. But when she goes into the lift and she's pressed all buttons, she's possibly pressing all the buttons to go, then pressing the door open button.
You can't
see
that
staying
clearly
open.
There, I suppose.
Yeah, that's why the door doesn't shut.
But why does the door
then.
Shut? So I suppose that would explain that.
Yeah. So then she's looking out left and right, but she's all kind of paranoid. She's all fucked up. Quite possibly. So it's not going to be like a drug which is going to knock you out completely, but it's, you know,
it's going to make you a bit out there, isn't it?
Or even maybe give you hallucinogenics. But you were saying that she had an autopsy which was clear of
the
drugs.
Autopsy was clear. I mean, what they've written down as the cause of death, well, not the cause of death, but they're saying she basically had bipolar. She was bipolar.
Well, was she? Was she?
Well, I mean,
obviously she has fucking.
If I remember rightly, the article
reports
said
of her. Well, just her own check, a GP, her doctor, or whatever, will know of anything.
Well, I don't think there was anything.
It's not like saying she just picked up when she walked down the street, she didn't trip over and catch it.
Well, in June, so this all happened in February. In June of this year, LA authorities say she was, and I quote, probably bipolar. But you know, she wasn't right in her right mind, but. You know, it's as it says in the article, how did she end up in the water tank? You can't get into that water tank. How did she get on the roof? What was all that weird thing with the lift door? There was definitely something weird going on there. The way her hands are as well. If you watch the video, you'll also see the actual news footage of them cutting open.
No clearly sane person. No clearly sane person who wants to commit suicide is going to go and do it that way.
This is the thing. She was afraid of something. She was worried for her life.
Well, the way I'm going to look at it and try and be rational and scientific and down to earth about it is that she was drugged and... But you're saying that she wasn't.
I mean, I'm just quoting...
Well, let me say. She was drugged and she's... You know, it's like if you're stoned and you've pulled a whitey or you're freaking out, you're just, whoa, things are off
you,
whatever.
You just want to lie down somewhere.
Or you want to get into a place where you're safe.
Yeah.
Crack addicts or heroin addicts, they might just like crawl up into a cupboard and stay there or something because it's safe. She saw that and she wanted to get away from there. She was definitely, from the video footage, definitely paranoid about something trying to get her. She's not going to commit suicide by getting into a water tank. They say accidental death, so maybe she was. But if she had a drug-free report...
An autopsy.
What's that mean?
But also, when you look at it... And I've just,
or is someone covering something up?
I've been
because someone's
well,
fucked
this is
up.
It. I've been glancing about over the article as we talk about this, and apparently the rooftop area had an alarm system on it, which didn't go off. You know, at any point.
Or was it an inept security guard?
Maybe
just
maybe that happened.
Doesn't know
but
what
but
doing.
Apparently, it's nigh on impossible to close the water tank from the inside as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody did kill her or something, did kill her, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff in this, really. If it's all right, Gav, I wanted to just go through a few things from one of the articles I read, just about the hotel's history, which a lot of weird things. Well,
a serial killer,
history.
Yeah,
there were two serial killers linked to this hotel, Richard Ramirez and another guy who I've not heard of, Jack Unterweger or Unterweger.
Wasn't Richard Ramirez's dad? He was the Night Stalker, yes.
He was the Night Stalker, yeah. He was living at this hotel, the Cecil Hotel, in 85.
Was it his dad that owned the film company who owns the rights to Friday Night Part 2?
I'm not 100%
on that. What were the two brothers that were serial killers? Or did he have a brother involved?
I couldn't say right now. Okay. But he was definitely the Night Stalker. He lived in the hotel for a while.
Okay.
He stalked and killed 13 female victims, I believe, whilst living in that hotel. And he dumped his bloody clothes in the dumpster at the end of each evening and came into the hotel through the back entrance. So that's just one of the things. The other guy I mentioned, Jack Unterweger, was a journalist covering crime for LA, for an Austrian magazine. So he's another guy. He was blamed for killing 3 prostitutes in LA whilst living at the Cecil Hotel. In the 50s and 60s, the hotel was known as a place that people would check into and they'd pick one of the top floors to jump out of and commit suicide. Quite a lot of people did that in the 50s and 60s because it was a tall building in that area. It was a good place to go and top yourself. So a lot of strange things happened there. There's a list, I'm just glancing down here, there's a list of people that have jumped out of the 3, 4, 5, 6 people over 20 years that have jumped out of the top floor.
What do you think happened?
What do I think happened? I don't know. It's a really weird... I just think she was scared for... All I know and all I think is that she was probably scared for her life. I've no idea what it was, but it was... To me, there's something in this story. There's something in this story jumped out at me.
I'd say go check out the video on YouTube. Have a look at it and just come to your conclusion. Check out some reports, check out some news clips and some...
Read all the articles.
There's lots of articles on the internet. And have a look. I don't really know. I you know...
I mean, one last thing I wanted to mention was something which I thought was too much of a coincidence. Or maybe we're just reading into this too much. But not long after her body was discovered, there was a really, really deadly outbreak of tuberculosis.
What's that?
It's... a disease. I don't really know.
yeah, Sherlock. I figured it's a fucking disease. What disease?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But there was a deadly outbreak of it in Skid Row, which apparently is near the Cecil Hotel. They used a test kit on people to figure out whether or not they had this tuberculosis. And the name of the test kit happened to be LAM. So Lam hyphen ELISA. So Elisa Lam's name the other way around with a hyphen.
Right.
That is too weird. That is one of the weirdest coincidences I've ever heard. I thought that was really, really odd. And to me, that was like the nail in the coffin. If there's definitely something weird. On top of it all, apparently the LA authorities, authorities have been very secretive about that whole thing.
Take it to the world of the supernatural. Okay, go completely extreme.
Okay.
What is that?
There's obviously, for me, if you take it...
There's a poltergeist there. There's a spirit.
There's a malevolent
spirit.
There's a malevolent spirit in the hotel. It's made this girl freak out. Yeah. It's chased her around the hotel.
Yep.
It's either chased her so that she's so desperate she's got in that water tank, or it's put her in the water tank. And that's it.
Yeah.
Those bad vibes at the hotel. Don't check into the Cecil Hotel in LA, Gav, is what I'm saying.
I won't.
Let's not do it.
Can you give me the address?
I'll get you the address.
I'll check it out. All right, nice one.
That's all the time we've got for this week on World of Strange. Next week, though, Kimmy Ira. Hairless pets. Weird.
Well, I think that's all we need to say about that one, really. We're going to try and talk about something every podcast, something weird that we've seen. Obviously, these sort of stories don't come into the news or on the internet all the time, but whenever we spot one or there's something that's doing the rounds, a video, a story, we're going to try and discuss it, bring a bit of realism into the podcast as well. So yeah, World of the Strange, guys. So for this week's music section...
It's not going to be a score. I was going to do like a horror score
for
a movie, which I'm going to do actually next week, which is more winter-based anyway. rather than Christmas. This is a Christmas themed tune. It is in Die Hard,
which has it's not a horror
movie.
The limo
driver's hanging out in the garage in the basement, and he's listening to it, and that was my first experience of it. And you know,
we love this song. We're both hip hop fans.
Yeah. So it's not horror related.
It's not horror related, but it's Christmas related.
It's a dope track, man. If you're ever going to listen, even if you don't listen to hip hop or rap music, this is a good Christmas song. All right, so check it out. This is Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis. First episode of the podcast on Haunted Hill. Dan, are you happy?
I'm pleased. I think that, you know, we've gone over a few good things and we've got what we wanted to out of this. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. We've kept it Christmassy because it is Christmas.
Yeah, like I say, next episode's going to be winter film.
We're going to keep with the winter theme, but New Year's Eve, from Christmas.
New Year's Eve movie.
Terror Train, definitely.
Just talk about some films which are set in the snow.
Yeah. We want to move on. We hopefully will be able to recommend a good YouTube movie for you guys. We're really sorry that Jack Frost was so bad, but it just was. But anyway, let's move on from Jack Frost. We're both scarred by that. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode.
Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, man, have a really good Christmas, guys.
Check out loads of Christmas horror.
Watch all your horror over Christmas. Do the standard ones. And
drink eggnog. Get wasted. Eggnog.
Watch Rare Exports as well if you get the chance. Watch Rare
Die
Exports.
Hard. Watch Die Hard.
Watch Die Hard. Watch Lethal Weapon 2.
Watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Gremlins. All of these Christmas movies are fantastic. Scrooged. Another great one. Chuck that one in there as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's it from us, guys. So have a really good Christmas.
So that's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me. We didn't do it right. Doesn't matter. Cheers, guys. Have a great Christmas and hopefully hear from us in the new year.
Take care. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the podcast on Haunted Hill. We will be back again real soon.